thank you so much for joining me here today. Well, I'm back. I'm back from gallivanting all over the world to bring you some more interesting content. I have been traveling for about the past month straight. It was exactly 4 weeks, 28 days. And I was able to go to some awesome places. The first stop was a 2 week long stint in Iraq, which was amazing. It was a place that I've wanted to go for quite a while and finally made it happen. So I'm really excited to bring those episodes to you. Probably gonna break that into two parts. And then I also was able to go to Lebanon. I was able to go to Greece, Cyprus, and Israel and Palestine. So I'm really excited to bring you those episodes, probably around four or five different ones to encompass all of those. But before I get into any of those episodes, specifically talking about different countries and my experiences there and what you should do and how you should do it, I really wanted to bring you this episode, which is basically a step-by-step guide of how to cross the Kuwait-Iraq border. And I wanted to bring this episode first, one, because it's kind of the beginning of the story of this past month of travel, but also because there's not a lot of information on the internet or anywhere really of how to do this process. And so I kind of wanted to just get it out as quickly as possible. It's gonna be a pretty quick episode because it's not a very long process at all, but there are quite a few things that you have to know. And there are some things like, you know, I researched this process for, you know, a month or two, and there were some things that I discovered like a week before I went that I had to have in order for it to work out. And I barely even found this information. So I wanted to just go ahead and put this out there. So there's like one YouTube video, there's like one blog that I read, there's one place on Facebook that I found this information. So now there's one podcast to add to the list of information of how to cross this border. So first off, the reason I decided to cross the border from Kuwait to Iraq, it's kind of twofold. First off, it was a little bit cheaper to fly into Kuwait than it was into Baghdad. And although by the end of the day with like spending the night in Kuwait, having to like take a taxi to the border, I probably kind of evened out on the cost aspect, but I had a itinerary that led me basically the entire north to south of Iraq. And so being able to start at one end of the country and end in the other was a lot better in my eyes than starting in the center and then having to go all the way down south and back to the middle and then all the way up north. It just, I liked it better, just no backtracking. So that was another reason that I wanted to go through Kuwait. Also, I have never done a true overland border crossing, and so I kind of wanted to switch it up a little bit and do something new, and so this seemed like a good opportunity to do that. So there are a few things that I thought were a little strange about this border crossing, and like I just said, it was my first true overland border crossing. I've crossed the border in Canada and Mexico before, like on land, but that doesn't really count. I mean, in Mexico, you don't even, now you probably would, but I crossed the border maybe like 10, 15 years ago. You didn't even have to show them an ID. They're just like, oh yeah, you look American, come on over. So I can't really speak to the validity of different overland border crossings, but I'll kind of explain what I thought was a little weird, and maybe some of you are like, oh, they're all like that, or maybe it's like, oh yeah, I need to look out for that because that's a little different. So the first thing that you need to know is that to leave Kuwait and to go to Iraq, you have to have what is called a exit permit. This is not really an exit visa because you don't need this to leave Kuwait in any other circumstances, but in order to cross from Kuwait into Iraq, you do need this exit permit. It's a green piece of paper, and I have no idea what it says on it because it's entirely in Arabic, but it basically says that you are allowed to go into no man's land there between the two borders and are allowed to leave Kuwait through Iraq. So to get this piece of paper, you have to go to a place called the Ports Management Offices in Kuwait City. Now, it's actually really convenient because it is right next door to the Kuwait City Airport. And in fact, if you leave the Kuwait Airport, you walk about 5 minutes and you're at this building. So it's pretty convenient, honestly, if you're flying into Kuwait already. The only inconvenient part is the hours are really short. I think it's open from like 8 to 2, Monday through Friday. And so I don't think many international flights are gonna be landing during that time slot. My flight landed at like 9, so it's not like I was gonna try and go to Iraq that night anyways. But just keep those times in mind. Like if you're gonna be landing at like 1 in the afternoon, 1:30, you might wanna just go ahead and plan on spending the night in Kuwait and making sure that you are there on days that it's open. Like if you land on a Saturday, know that you're not gonna be able to leave Kuwait until at least Monday. So just keeping those things in mind, but you have to have this exit permit. This is the thing that I did not realize I needed until like a week before I left. And then I finally found this one article online talking about maybe like a year ago, they did this process. And I saw it and I was like, oh my gosh, like that would have been terrible. Get all the way to the border and then they'll send you back. So make sure you have this paper. Now it is free. And so once again, you have to type in Ports Management into Google Maps. Apple Maps does not really work too well when it comes to finding exact locations. I had a lot of trouble with Apple Maps and Google Maps, honestly, on this trip. But Google Maps does show this precise location. So either use Google Maps to get you there or find the location on Apple Maps where it's at and then just kind of put a pin there and walk to that location. Now, I recommend, well, I don't know if I recommend this, but I will tell you, when I landed in Kuwait, I had a hotel that had free airport pickup. And this is like the first, one of the first times I've ever done this. And it was so nice. Like literally just walk out, walk off the plane, walk through immigration, and then bam, a dude's holding a sign with your name on it. And you just follow him to the hotel. Pretty awesome. It was free, which it was basically the main reason I picked this hotel. It was like one of the cheaper hotels. It was right next to the airport. I knew I was literally just spending the night there coming back. And because this Ports Management office is right next to the airport, the next morning I just took the shuttle back to the airport for free. So saved a little bit of money on what would have been a taxi ride back and forth. And so he dropped me off at departures. I went downstairs to arrivals, and then, like I said, I literally walked 5 minutes to this office. And everyone there knows like what this building is called. If you say Ports Management, they're gonna know what it is. I was walking like towards the back of the building, and some guy was looking at me weird, so I was like, I wanna go to the Ports Management office. And he kind of led me, I think he was going there anyways, he led me to the building. You go inside, and there's a stairwell on your right. You're gonna walk up the stairs to the second floor, and you're gonna walk into this cubicled office area. And you're going to go to the back left corner of this office. And I got there around 7:45. There was one other guy there who was doing the same thing that I was. The people who worked there didn't really get there until 8:05, something like that. And I'm sure this lady does other stuff too, but if you just walk up to her and you're like, I wanna go to Iraq, you hand her your passport, she'll take it. In about 5 to 10 minutes, she'll call your name, you'll go back up, pick up your passport, and then in about another 5 or so minutes, a guy was passing out green papers. I knew that's what I wanted, so I walked up to him, and he handed me a piece of paper. I think I was the last one that he handed it to, and so I looked at it, and it's totally in Arabic. So one thing I would totally recommend that you do is make sure that it is yours. If you sign up for an e-visa to fly into Kuwait, your e-visa is going to have your name in English and also in Arabic. So if you do not know how to read Arabic, there is sort of a translation of your name on your Kuwaiti e-visa. So I totally recommend looking at your Kuwaiti e-visa with your name written in Arabic and make sure that you can find your name written in Arabic on this green sheet of paper. Because I am pretty sure it'd be an issue if you showed up to the border and your name and your passport did not match up to the name on that green piece of paper. So fortunately, I'd actually learned how to read Arabic phonetically before I left. And so I was able to find my name on the sheet of paper. And I was like, okay, good. This is my piece of paper. I know it's mine because it's got my name on it. So we're good to go. Once you have that piece of paper, that's all you need. Once you have that, you're good to go. And so there are several ways that you can get to the Iraq border, but I just found it so much easier to pay a little bit more money and just take a taxi wherever I needed to go. It was just so much more convenient. And things over there, yes, this part that I'm about to talk to you about is a little expensive, but for the rest of the trip, like in Iraq, like it's like, do I want to pay, you know, $15 to just grab this taxi off the corner and go where I want to go? Or do I want to take one taxi to the garage to haggle and find a shared taxi to where I want to go for like $10? Like, you know, here's an extra $5. Just take me where I want to go and let's go right now. So anyways, you can take a bus to like the outskirts of Kuwait City and then take a cab from there. You could take a bus to like the city that's next to the border and take a taxi from there. You can try and hitchhike with like a bunch of construction workers who work out near where the border is. There's several different ways to get there, but a taxi is the way to go. Now, I will say, if you can find someone else who is trying to do the same thing as you, sharing a taxi would be very nice because you know, you have it all planned out already together, and then you just find a taxi. It's gonna be the same no matter if there's one of you or three of you or two of you, and you can split the cost that way. There is a Facebook community called Iraqi Traveler Cafe. If you've researched traveling to Iraq at all, this group will show up on basically everything. They're very helpful. People who live in Iraq, people who have traveled to Iraq are all in this community, and they'll answer questions, help you out. It's a very cool place. So definitely, like, before you're getting ready to do this, see if you can find someone who's sort of on the same time clock as you, and maybe you can meet up and take a taxi there together. So when I left the ports management office, I figured, oh, and by the way, that took about 30 minutes. I think I was out of there by like 8:30. So I wanted to take a taxi to the border, and I knew that the taxi should cost around $50. And so I figured I would get the best price if I left the airport. So I started walking towards the exit of the airport, but it's like 105 degrees already at 8:30 in the morning. I'm just walking, and I noticed the road is just like this huge maze to get out of the airport. And at this point, I'm just like, okay, I'm just gonna turn around. There are no taxis in sight. I'm just gonna turn around, go back to departures and see what I can find. So I turn around, I walk back to the airport, and I wind up at the like domestic terminal, which is pretty nice, because I usually try and find the domestic terminal if it's nearby to the international, because that's where all the locals are gonna be. And so you probably are gonna get a better deal than the international where all the foreigners are at. So I find this guy, and I'm like, I wanna go to Iraq, I wanna go to the border. And so we kind of were talking, kind of spitting prices, and I'm willing to pay 15 Kuwaiti dinar. 15 Kuwaiti dinar is basically $50. And so he says 14. And I'm like, hey, I was willing to give you an extra one. That sounds awesome, let's go. So we're walking, and 90% of taxi drivers are shady. Like, you just can't get around that fact. So we're walking, and I'm like, man, him just spitting out 14 right off the bat just sounds way too good to be true. So I'm kind of just down it the whole walk to his car. Well, we get to his car, and it's this old beat up like SUV. Nothing about this car says that it's a taxi. And I'm like, this is just some random dude who's like, I'm gonna go try and get a few extra bucks at the airport, and just drives over there and tries to pick some people up. So already I'm like, this is not that great. So we get in, and on my phone, I like type in 14 onto my calculator just to show him, like, okay, making sure you said 14, right? And he's like, 14, no. And he erases it and he types in 40. 40 Kuwaiti dinar is what? That's like $150. And I know for a fact that this should not cost more than 50, even from the airport. And I just laugh at him. I'm like, no way, I'm not paying 40. That is ridiculous. So you know it's ridiculous because immediately, as soon as I'm like, no way, he changes it to 20. Like, he literally cuts off over $100 or over like $70 just right off the bat without me even arguing at all. And so even then at 20, I'm like, no. And the main reason too is I literally pulled out 20 Kuwaiti dinar the night before from the ATM because I knew I had to pay for this taxi, which would cost 15, and I knew I needed to pay for a bus across the border, which was gonna be like 2. So that's like 17 right there. So I did not have a lot of wiggle room. Like, it was either like 17 was the max that I could even pay if I wanted to pay more. So he's talking to me, and we're just going back and forth. I'm like 14, he's at 20. I think he goes down to like 16 or 17. I get him down to 15. So at 15, he's like, fine, whatever. So we start to leave, and you have to pay to leave the airport. Like, you have to pay a fee. And he like is asking me to pay the fee. And I'm like, dude, no, that's part of the deal. Like, you have to pay this. So he's like, well, whatever. And so he pays the fee and we take off. So this is like one of the scariest taxi rides that I've ever been on in my life. This road, the road from Kuwait City to the Iraqi border, is called like the Highway of Death, because during like the Kuwait invasions, the Kuwait War and all this kind of stuff, there was a bomb in this road left and right, and there used to be just like blown up vehicles as far as the eye could see on this road. So already this place is called the Highway of Death. There's the coolest thing I saw in all of Kuwait, honestly, was on this drive though, like, there were camels everywhere. I'm sure they weren't wild camels, but still, just camels on the side of the road, just caravans of camels like in the desert next to the highway, camels crossing the highway. Like, it was ridiculous. I saw probably a few hundred camels within a 2-hour time span. It was awesome. But keeping this in mind, that there are camels literally crossing the highway, we're flying. We're going like close to 200 kilometers an hour, which is over 100 miles an hour. I think we got up to like 180 something kilometers an hour. That's at least 100 miles an hour, which is ridiculous on this road. He's swerving in between cars. Like, we were basically on an F1 track. It was ridiculous. So we're absolutely flying. This is supposed to take like 2 hours. We get there in like an hour and a half. And so we get to the border. Like, we get to the actual border crossing. There's military officers there. And so I'm like, I guess drop me off here. Like, I don't know. So I get out of the car and I pay him, and all I had was the 20 KD. And this is where I went wrong. I should have had smaller change, but that's literally just what I pulled out of the ATM. So he gives me like 3 KD back, and I'm like, well, that's 17. I can do a little bit of math. That's not what it's supposed to be. So I'm like arguing like I need more. And he literally starts to just drive away, like, with the door open. And luckily I already had my bags and stuff out, because he just like took off. And I'm like, okay, well, fortunately all I needed was like 2 KD, so I have 3, so that should pay for the bus. I wasn't gonna do anything with the extra 2 KD that he took from me anyways. That was like an extra $5, whatever. Like, I'm here, who cares? Got all my stuff, let's go. So basically I ended up paying 17 KD for this taxi ride. I had originally agreed for 15, and if I had correct change, it would have cost me 15. But you could probably get it down to like 13, 14. But I think 15 is a pretty reasonable amount that you're probably going to pay for this taxi ride. So after all those events, I'm like, okay, well, I'm here. Let's get across this border. So I know that there's supposed to be a bus here. There's a yellow bus that you pay that will take you across the border. So I walk up to the immigration people, or to the military at the border, and I'm like, can I walk across here? Like, where's this bus? And they're like, no, you can't walk. And they point to where the bus is at, and they point at this gas station. And so I'm like, oh, okay, the bus parks at this gas station. That makes sense. So I walk to the gas station. It's maybe like 200 meters from the border crossing. Remember, it's 110 degrees now outside. So I'm walking and I get up to the gas station. I see like places where a bus could be, but there's no signs, there is no bus. I'm like, what's going on here? So there's a gas attendant there. I'm like, is this where the bus is? And he's like, there's no bus here. And he points across the street to a convenience store. I'm like, okay, that also makes sense. The bus just stops at the convenience store, picks people up, and goes across the border. Cool. So I walk maybe another 50 meters across the street, down the road a little ways. And as I'm walking up to the convenience store, a guy comes out. I'm like, is this where the bus is at? And he's like, there's no bus here. And he points back another maybe 150 meters to this big old parking lot. And fortunately, at this point, I see the top of a yellow bus, because if I did not see a bus there, I'd be like, I'm going to be walking back to Quaid City before I find this bus. So I walk another 150 meters or so. And basically what it is this huge parking lot where people, Kuwaitis, will park and then take all their luggage and stuff on the bus. Basically, it's for people who aren't allowed to drive across the border. They'll just leave their car there and then go across and get picked up on the other side. And then when they come back, then they'll just pick up their car, pay, whatever, and then head back into Kuwait. So, moral of this story is that when you are taking a taxi to the border, basically as soon as you see the border crossing in the distance, you need to look over to the left side of the road, and there's going to be a big parking lot. There's going to be like a couple of different, they kind of look like trailers or like portable buildings, and that is where you want the taxi driver to drop you off. I'm pretty sure there's going to be a bus there 95% of the time. The bus leaves on the hour. I got there at like, I guess it was around 10:15 in the morning, and the bus, I sat on the bus until 11, and at 11 o'clock we left. Now when I got on the bus cost 1 KD. Now through my research, like, someone had done this trip a week or so before and they paid 1.5 KD. I don't really know what was up with that. I gave the guy 2 KD and he literally gave me 1 KD back. So it's not like, at least this guy was trying to jip me off. So I paid 1 KD, a person a week before me paid 1.5 KD. So I would have, you know, probably the 2 KD that I was planning on having just to be on the safe side. So anyways, I sat on this bus and at 11 o'clock we left and we crossed to the border. Now, when we crossed the border, they get on the bus and they check your passport, and they made sure that I had my green, that exit permit. I'm sure if you're at a place that does not, where Iraq does not give you a visa on arrival, they would also be looking at that visa permit. But yeah, you're gonna need to show that green paper and your passport. Now, one couple did not have the right papers. They were like the only Kuwaiti people on the bus and they didn't have the right papers, which I thought was funny. Everybody else on that bus was from Iraq. There was a guy from Syria on there, and then me, the lone American, and we had all our stuff together, and the Kuwaiti people did not. So we literally sat on the bus for like 30 minutes inside the checkpoint, and then we had to turn around and go back to the parking lot and like drop these people back off because they weren't allowed to go. Now, the reason I said there's like a 95% chance there's going to be a bus there is because when we got back, there was already like two buses lined up ready like to get people on board. So I'm pretty sure it's just a, you know, it's just always there's a bus there waiting to pick people up and go through this process. So if you're, you know, you're looking and you don't see anything, there's, look a little harder, you're probably gonna always see like yellow bus when you're trying to find this parking lot. Okay, so once they dropped those people back off, we went back through the checkpoint. This time, cleared, flying colors, everybody, round of applause. And we drove maybe 2 or 3 minutes and we got to this building. And when we got to this building, we had to get off. You leave your luggage on the bus. I didn't really want to at first, but literally everyone else was, so I was like, they're obviously not gonna leave us. So I got off, and you go inside this building. There's like a restroom there if you need to go. And then this is basically the immigration and for Kuwait. So you go in, you give them the green paper, and you give them your passport. They keep the green piece of paper, and they stamp your exit stamp out of Kuwait, give you back your passport, and that's it. You go and get back on the bus. So at this point, you've given away your green exit permit, and you've gotten your exit stamp from Kuwait. that took about, you know, maybe 5-10 minutes for everybody on the bus to get stamped out. Got back on the bus and we drove maybe another 2 or 3 minutes, and then we came to another little building. This is where it kind of gets weird. So we get dropped off at this building, and I had read online that at this point they're gonna, like, basically you're in Iraq at this point, and they're going to search your luggage. So I get off the bus and I'm fully expecting to, like, have someone search my luggage. Maybe there's, like, a scanner. Maybe even this is where I have to get my visa. And there's literally nobody there. Like, there's some just, like, random Iraqi dudes just chilling there, and that's about it. So fortunately, the Syrian guy, he looked like he knew what he was doing. So I literally just followed him the whole way. He just got off and he took off with his backpack, and I'm like, well, I guess I'll do the same thing. So I just start following him, and there's literally, like, one Iraqi military guy just standing there on the road, and I walk up to him, I show him my passport, and he's like, okay, and he just hands it back, and kind of just, like, he doesn't really say anything, he just kind of looks to the next person. I'm like, well, I guess that means I can keep going. So I keep walking, and maybe 100 meters ahead, there's, like, another checkpoint, and there's another military guy there, and there's kind of, like, a little shack. And so I'm like, okay, maybe this is where I get the visa. There's a shack here that seems kind of like maybe they do visas in that shack. And so he looks at my passport, and I'm like, is this where I get the visa? And he's like, no, that way. And he kind of just, like, points farther up the road. And so I'm like, well, okay. And so I take my passport, I keep walking. And so I keep walking, and on the left side of the road, there's kind of like an L shape of buildings. And the up and down part of the L is, this kind of looks like a convenience store or something. And then the base part of the L, I can't remember exactly what it says, but it basically says something like Iraq immigration or official Iraq border crossing, something like that. Something that's like, I should probably go in this building. This seems kind of official. So I walk into this building, and sure enough, that is where the visas are basically authorized. Now, the weird part is there's literally nothing stopping you from just continuing to walk into town. Like, there are no real border crossing. Like, there's no fence to keep you in. There's no gate where it's like, oh, they check your visa and passport before they open the gate and let you through. It's literally just like you get dropped off the bus, you talk to those random dudes, and you can just walk into Iraq, no problem. And I know this would have been a huge issue when I got to my first checkpoint in Iraq, but you could literally just live in Basra for the rest of your life and no one would ever know that you just crossed into Iraq. And so maybe Iraq doesn't really care who comes into the country. Maybe it's like a Mexico-US thing, like anybody can just walk into Mexico, they don't care. It's when you come back into the US where they're kind of like checking all your papers and making sure everything is in order. So maybe it's that sort of situation where just they don't really care who comes into Iraq. I'm not really sure, but that was the weird part to me, where there was no signs, there was nothing to keep you from having made a mistake and just walking in illegally. So I thought that was really interesting, and maybe most border, like, land crossings are like that, but I found that really interesting. So anyways, I know I'm not being very specific, but when just keep your eyes out, and on the left side of the road, you're going to see a building that says basically Iraq immigration or Iraq customs, something like that. And that is the building that you're going to walk into. There's literally nothing in this building except for, like, a few stadium chairs on the sides of the room, and then, like, a couple of glass windows for you to walk up to and talk to the immigration officers. Now, for U.S. citizens, the visa on arrival costs $75. There's supposed to be a $2 service fee, something like that. I don't know if it just goes straight into their pockets or what, but everybody everywhere that I read about paid $77 for their visa on arrival. So before I left, in a separate little envelope, I had exactly $77. And as I'm telling the story right now, I'm reminiscing on my Lao visa story, where I had exactly the exact amount of money I needed, not a dollar or penny more. And then there was a $1 service fee that nowhere on the internet was mentioned anywhere. And so I had to basically bum a dollar off the person behind me. But anyways, I pull up to this gate and I give him $77. He's like, so I need the $77. So I give him the 77. I even had it typed out, like, 77, yes? And he's like, yeah. So I give him 77. He counts it and he's like, I need one more. And I'm like, what? And he like types in 78. And I'm like, you just said 77. Literally everything on the internet says 77. The people who were here last week said it was 77. Well, I don't understand. Now, I had multiple ones still in my backpack, but I was so just like confused at what was going on. I just pulled out a 20 and I ended up giving him just a flat 80. Now, I've heard of people not getting change back. I've heard people of getting change back. I did not get change back, so I ended up just paying $80 for this VOA, but whatever. It is what it is. So I would recommend having $77 and then just a couple extra ones just in case they decide that the ink was a little more expensive that day and they need an extra dollar or two to cover those costs for the visa on arrival. So I paid $78, but the official cost or the official price is $77 for US citizens. Anyways, I give him the money, he gives me a form, I fill it out, it's super basic stuff, basically just what's in your passport, plus I think it asks for my occupation and like if I was married or something like that. And then I give that back to him, sat down less than 10 minutes later, he calls me up there, I get my picture taken, he passes me back my passport, and that's it, my stamp is in there. Now, there's one thing on the visa that kind of sketched me out for a second. And it basically says on the bottom, it says that you need to register within 10 days. Now, I was gonna be there for like 12 days, and so that was like, oh man, do I need to do this? Because I have not heard of this at all either. So I did a little bit of asking around, and it turns out that these visas on arrival, like you used to have to register like several years ago. That's not a thing anymore, but they still have the same visas. They didn't change the visas, or these are just the same visas that they've had because not a lot of people go there. I don't know, but that's like an old process. So if you read it and you get worried that it says that you need to register within 10 days, you do not have to register within 10 days. I left after 12 days and there were no questions asked about this. So you do not need to do anything about that. Now, once you have your visa, you just leave and you keep down walking that road that you would have walked if you would have blinked and missed this building. There is another pretty fancy, seemingly important building right next to this one. And I almost walked into it because I was like, this looks pretty official. Like, I feel like I need to walk into this building, but I didn't. And nothing wrong or bad happened. So I do not know what that building was. It's like fenced in. There was a gate that was open and it said something about Iraq on it. I don't know what that building was, but I apparently did not need to go into it. So just keep that in mind. If you see this nice kind of fancy looking building with a gate around it and it says Iraq something on it, then you have just passed the visa office. So that's a good landmark, I suppose. Okay, so I know this is really vague, but this whole process was really vague, so I'm trying to be as clear as I can be about the process, but there's not a lot of clear markers to go off of here. Okay, so once you have your visa, you keep on walking, and there's going to be one more checkpoint. And this is mainly a car checkpoint. There's like one of those arm things that keeps you from driving through. Literally no one even looked at me as I walked through the gate. So it's not for you at all. And once again, I could have just totally skipped the visa office and no one would have cared at all. So I kept on walking and there's like this roundabout thing. And I totally forgot about this, and I kind of was kicking myself, but once again, it's like, ooh, $10 versus $6. Ooh, wow. Like, for some people, that is a big deal who are, like, really budget traveling. But at this point in my life, I think I've determined that I'm not actually a budget traveler anymore. I'm kind of just like a cheap traveler. So paying $10 for an easy to get taxi versus paying $6 for a hard to get taxi, I'm definitely paying those extra $4 here, especially when it's 110 degrees outside. So I get to this roundabout, and if you continue walking about a kilometer is what I was told, there is basically a taxi garage. And these taxi garage is where all the taxis park and all the like long distance taxis park there. And basically there's just more competition at this spot, so you can kind of barter and get better deals there. So about a kilometer past this last checkpoint, there's a garage, and so you can get a better deal to go into Basra, which is probably the first town that you're really going to want to stay at in Iraq. And so I think you can probably get a taxi, like a shared taxi, for probably around 5,000 Iraqi dinar, which is maybe around like $3 or $4. Maybe you can get a single taxi, like a private taxi, for 10 or 15,000 IQD, which is going to be around $8 to $12. But I went ahead and got a private taxi right there at this roundabout, and it cost me $20 US. And one issue I had was I could not find anywhere to change US dollars to Iraqi dinar right there at the border. I was told there were some places, and maybe I just didn't look hard enough, but I did not see any spots to change. And the people who I was asking were not being very helpful when it came to changing out my money. So I was kind of just fortunate or happy enough that these people were willing to accept US dollars, and so I went ahead and I paid $20 US for this maybe 20 to 30 minute taxi ride into Basra. It's equivalent to around 25,000 IQD, which I've heard is pretty accurate for getting a taxi right there at the border. But once again, if you wanted to walk, you know, an extra half mile or so, you could pretty easily cut that number in half. And so, yeah, you pay that $20 US and bam, you are in the heart of Mesopotamia. You are in southern Iraq, in Basra. And that's where I'm going to stop today. That's where I'm going to start on my actual Iraqi podcast. But I hope this was sort of helpful. That was my process of getting from Kuwait City to Basra, Iraq. I'll go through the key points one last time, kind of just bullet point it, because I know I rambled and story told throughout instead of just giving you the key facts. So key facts: you have got to get your green exit permit from the ports management offices in Kuwait City, right next to the airport. You've got to have it. They will not let you through the border without it. So once you have that, you somehow get to the border. I don't care if it's a bus, a taxi, whatever. It should cost, if you take a private taxi, 15 KD, approximately 50 US dollars, to get from the airport in Kuwait City to the border. When you're approaching the border, on the left side, there's a parking lot where you should be able to see a couple, at least one, maybe two, yellow buses. That is where you're going to want to get dropped off at, and you're going to get on that bus, and it's going to cost you 1 to 2 KD to take that bus across the border. That bus leaves at the top of every hour. I don't know what time they start, but I doubt you'd get there before they started, or hopefully you're not trying to get there after they've started or ended. So you're going to get on that bus, 1 to 2 KD, not really sure what. I paid 1 KD, and that's going to take you across the border. First checkpoint, they're gonna check your passport and they're gonna check your green exit permit. Second checkpoint, they're going to take your green permit and they're going to stamp you out of Kuwait. Third stop, you're gonna get off your bus and you're just gonna start walking. You might have a luggage check. They might search your luggage, they might not. I was not checked, but I have heard of people being checked there. You're going to walk, I would say, maybe 400 to 600 meters. and on the left side of the road there's going to be, it's kind of like a portable metal building, kind of large but not really, and it's going to have something like Iraq immigration or Iraq border something, and you're going to walk in that building and that is where you're going to get your visa on arrival. It's going to cost you $75 to $80 US dollars, and you have to pay in US dollars. Okay, so $75 to $80 US dollars. You will probably not get change back, so make sure you have the right amount and some ones there just in case they change the price on you. Once you wait about 10 or 15 minutes, you will get your passport back with your visa in it. You will leave that building and you will walk approximately another 200 to 400 meters through the last checkpoint to a roundabout. You can either take a taxi there for $20, 20 US dollars, 25,000 IQD to Basra, Iraq, or you can continue walking maybe another kilometer, 1,000 meters to the taxi garage there and probably get a taxi to Basra for at least half the price. I'd say around 10,000, 15,000 IQD would be a safe bet if you walked that much farther. And that's it. It sounds a lot simpler when I say it that way, but it's a lot more interesting when I tell you my story, I think anyways. So that is the process of getting from Kuwait to Iraq. It was not that difficult at all. It did take most of the day. Like I left my hotel at around 7:15, 7:30 in the morning, and I got to Basra around around 2 or 3 in the afternoon. I will say most of that was because we were waiting on that bus for at least an hour for those people to figure out what was wrong with their stuff and to like make a U-turn and drop them off. And then I had to wait for like 30 or 40 minutes when I got to the yellow bus to even go in the first place. So there was maybe an hour and a half or so of just waiting around. But I feel like you should probably budget at least, you know, half a day to do this border crossing. It was very simple, but I just feel like there's a lot of places where there's no direction or instruction whatsoever. And so that was definitely the hardest part, just figuring out what you needed to do, where you needed to go, what you needed to have. But otherwise, you know, the people in charge were smooth, straightforward, nice. I had no issues with the people in charge at all, so that was good. So yeah, I hope this was helpful. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me on Instagram at educateyourtravel. I'm really excited to start some episodes about the trip. Once again, I think I'm gonna do a two-parter for Iraq, southern Iraq and northern Iraq. There's not a lot of information about federal Iraq. It was really hard to find anything good before I left to do research on. Almost everything when you search traveling to Iraq is all Iraqi Kurdistan, which is awesome. But federal Iraq is where you really need the info. So I'm really excited to do those episodes here in the next week or so. And then also I'll probably do a full episode on Lebanon. I'll do a full one on Greece. I went back to Greece. I also went to Cyprus. I might do a full one on Cyprus, but we really didn't do that much, so we'll see. And then Israel and Palestine. So got several episodes lined up. I'm really excited to talk to you about those. Once again, if you have any questions, feel free to reach out on Instagram. I have pictures of all of my trips saved in like my saved story. So if you want to look at any past trips I've been on, or if you want to kind of take a sneak peek on what I'm going to be talking about here in the future episodes, feel free to check out those. All of my pictures from the last month are up there already. So once again, it's up to you to make your life interesting. So get up, get out, explore the world, and take that next adventure. Thank you so much for joining me here today, and I can't wait to talk to you next time. See ya.